Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, founder of Mighty Ripples, cash flow expert, and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. So today, this morning, we're going to get into a great topic, especially after we went into last week on topics such as how to create more cash flow today and how I've shown my average client to free up $33,000 a year and things like that, and really just what's wrong with being taught about financial advising and even just financial advice today. And especially if you're an entrepreneur, man, that advice is practically destructive to your business. I mean, it really hinders you, does not help you. And so I'm really excited today to go deeper into this to show you what are the real keys to making more money, the real keys to making that those cash flow secrets really work for you so that you can actually have more freedom, more prosperity, greater ability to be able to produce more value in your business and add value into people's lives and be a blessing to other people. And so I really want to – this is going to be a great episode. In fact, it's going to be two parts because it is such a big topic. And honestly, I mean, two parts may not be enough. I'm sure we'll have to revisit this again and again and again because it's not so much the strategies that you do. It's not always about strategies. It's all about who you're being and how you show up. And it's really about – the person that you are and how you were able to create that wealth is the real key here. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. It's about who you become in creating the wealth, not just about how much money you're able to accumulate and hoard and save. Now, I invite everybody, for those of you that maybe missed last week's show, be sure to go back and listen to that. There's also a great ebook online on my website, www.moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. And so I invite you to go there, check it out. There's also lots of great blogs and things of that nature that I think you'll love. So anyways, let's get started here. I mean, there are really this is a very big topic. In fact, this is a topic that actually changed my life. This is the very same topic that got me to leave being a financial advisor and doing more along the lines of what I was doing today. Many of you have heard my story in that very first podcast of, you know, who is Chris Miles? And you know, let me talk a little bit about what happened with me. Is that as I worked as a financial planner or a financial advisor, this is back 12 years ago when I started working as a financial advisor. Now I did that for 4 years, and I learned a lot of good stuff. I learned definitely about real life situations and how people's lives really were. The thing is, I realized that there's a lot of things just not feeling quite right. And maybe you've met with a financial advisor before. You said, "Man, this just doesn't feel quite right." Not sure why, but it just doesn't quite sit well with me. If you've ever felt that way before, it's for a good reason. It's for the same reason I was having a hard time too. The hardest thing for me though is that my pocketbook was tied to that education that I was giving. And there's a lot of great, well-meaning financial advisors out there that are really trying to make a difference, a better difference in the world. But unfortunately, what they're teaching isn't always what real life has shown us works. So I'll give you an example. You know, many times we are taught it's about accumulating and hoarding money and saving over the long haul. But what good does that do if all of a sudden you don't make it to the long haul? What good does it do if all of a sudden something doesn't quite work out financially and your long haul becomes longer, right? Little myths like that that are just killers, you know, they actually do kill you financially. And I realized when I was looking at people's financial situations, especially those that have been meeting with financial advisors for the previous 10 or 20 years, many of them meeting with financial advisors since at least the 1980s, some earlier. And as I look at their accounts and I saw what was going on, especially those people I inherited their accounts from other financial advisors, I realized that one thing was common between all of these people. They weren't even close to becoming financially free. Not even close. I mean, they had in comparison to what they thought they should have, there was so little money in there. It was a lot of overpromising and over-delivering. And the reason being is that financial advising is based on strategies, not principles. The key thing you always need to remember, always, is that it's principles first, strategies second. It's always principles first, strategies second. A strategy and a principle are very different. For example, a principle is something that never changes. It's something that's always going to be a constant. It's like the rules of the universe, as some people would call them. It's the rules of how money always works. It's an always or never kind of scenario. Whereas opposed to a strategy can change with circumstances and time. So for example, when someone says to pay off your debt as a principal, that is not a principal. That is a strategy. You know, when people are telling you to pay off your debt, that's a strategy, not a principal. For example, what if a situation arises where it makes you to the point where you say, you know what, it's better for me to save a little bit of money right now than to pay off this debt. Who's ever been in that situation before? I'm sure we all have, right? And that's a big difference, is that it's a strategy, not a principle. Now, the principle within that about paying off debt, for example, is that many people will say to live within your means, which is so true. And I would even go deeper, is that the real principle there is that you're always creating more value than you consume. You create more value than you consume. When people consume more value than they create, then they go into debt. They have negative cash flow. They go into debt, and that creates a problem. So I definitely agree from that standpoint, that's a true principle. However, it doesn't always mean that the debt is the thing that we need to pay off right now, that it's always the way it has to be, that you always have to pay off that debt right away, that those things are going to change the circumstances or over time. So I make that key distinction because so many people will use those two synonymously. They'll call things principles, but they're really strategies. Someone says, you know, first principle or baby step number one is to save $1,000. That's a strategy, not a principle. The principle there would be to have those reserves in case of a rainy day, right? And that's where my opinion of that strategy, that even that baby step number one for Dave Ramsey would be a little bit different. It would actually have to be a higher number, and it could be case by case depending on the person. So $1,000 probably wouldn't be a good rule of thumb to use, especially nowadays where $1,000 is nothing, right? So that's a strategy. Again, that could always change. And I mention this because so many people get caught up in this. And if you realize that it is principles first, strategy second, you'll start to realize why, when I teach about cash flow strategies like last week, why it's so important to make sure that we understand the principles behind it. So these next 2 weeks are going to really delve deep into these principles. You've got to learn these. You've got to know them. All right, you guys with me so far? All right, let's dig in. So I'm going to talk first and foremost about what I just mentioned. There's creators and there's consumers. Creators and consumers. One lives in abundance and one lives in scarcity. Creators are living in a world of abundance. They see things from an abundant perspective, while consumers see things from a scarce perspective. Now, when I say consumers, this doesn't mean, you know, just people that go and buy things. I don't mean it from that standpoint. I mean those that usually will consume more value than they create, usually because of that perspective of scarcity, where creators will typically create more than they consume. And if you would do this, some of you I know are driving, you know, listen to this in your cars. You've already told me that you've done this. Many of you do that. So don't do this if you're driving, but maybe create a mental picture in your head. If you're sitting at a desk or somewhere you can draw, I would recommend that you draw this, because there's going to be two very distinct differences here between these. The first thing I'm going to have you draw is like a bell curve, or it could be a pendulum if you want to do it that way. I use the bell curve to show where all the money is and where it's not. Bell curve is that thing that looks kind of like a bell. You know, if you look at the top of a bell, it starts out small on the sides, comes up really big in the middle, and then small on the sides again. Now, on the one extreme, on the left-hand side, I draw... You know, I write in here where I put in spender and gamblers. Spenders and gamblers. They're on the far extreme on the left-hand side. Spenders and gamblers. On the right-hand side, I write in savers and hoarders. Savers and hoarders. Those that hoard money. Now, these two extremes over here on the left and the right are both in scarcity. Now, scarcity is typically that view where you believe that there's not enough, right? That there's a shortage. It's usually driven by fear or greed or doubt, worry, those kind of things. Typically, you know, in scarcity, you know, things have value, not people. And also in scarcity, you tend to look at things with competition. By the way, if you want to write this also on the side, I would write, maybe like a little line down the middle, not during the middle of this drawing I just had you do, but down the middle of another part of the paper, scarcity on the left-hand side and abundance on the right. because on scarcity, it really is driven by fear, or it could be greed or impatience. A lot of times people in business get really impatient with things, and they think that they're being busy or productive, but in reality, they're not being busy or productive. They're being scarce. They're running out of fear, most likely, if they're being impatient. And a lot of times when you're impatient with things, think about anything in real life. Whenever you're impatient, you usually break it, don't you? So patience is more on the abundance end. Impatience is on the scarce end. So in scarcity, things do have value. People are typically looked as being competition for things. It's a very much of an either-or type of scenario. Either I have this or I have this. I can't have my cake and eat it too. It's typically in scarcity. A lot of times there is selfishness involved, where it's a lot of focusing on yourself and taking care of your own needs and forgetting about other people around you. It's usually about how to get value or take value rather than giving value, right? They also believe that in many cases when it comes to money and becoming wealthy, many of these people in scarcity will believe that dollars follow luck, or they follow somehow you exploit somebody, or you lie, cheat, or steal to get money, where in abundance that's the opposite. So they believe that dollars follow luck or exploitation. And like I said, they believe in limits. They don't believe that there are, they believe that their life is just resigned to a certain way and it's just the way it's got to be, or it's a life of never enough, that you can never have enough. It's a victim mentality. A lot of times it's even an entitled mentality. A lot of the entitlement mentality falls in this category too. You feel like you're a victim, that basically there's the circumstances that allow you to not prosper, right? And by the way, if you notice, all of us at some point feel these emotions, don't you? None of us, if you're human, you've basically experienced scarcity. It's impossible not to, even on a daily basis, at least for a little bit of time. So that's more in scarcity. So spenders a lot of times will do it for various reasons, spenders and gamblers. A lot of times it is out of fear. Impatience or greed is very much the same, especially when you get to the gambler perspective. I've seen a lot of people where they'll gamble money away and they'll think, hey, what the heck, let's just go for it. And they roll the dice and then they wonder why they lost, right? And it didn't work for them. I've seen a lot of people where, from the spender mentality, they spend because they grew up with a parent that was a saver or even a hoarder. And so they were tired of never living, enjoying life because they were always told as kids that you can never afford it. I mean, how many of us have heard that growing up? We can't afford it, or there's just not enough money, or, we can't do this because of this or that or the other. It's all a lot of the major words is can't, right? There's a lot of, as I like to say, in scarcity, you tend to end things with periods or exclamation points. Rather than creating questions, how can we create more? It's not so much from a place of no limits. And so you get stuck in this scarce perspective. I mean, everything with money. I mean, I grew up hearing things like money doesn't grow on trees, and what do you think I am, made of money? And, we can't afford this. And hey, there's just not enough money, or, you just need to save and save and save, and then someday you'll be able to have what you want. Although the human experience showed me that you could never save enough to get what you want. Or on the flip side, you'd see things like, just keep spending this money because you never know if it's going to be around tomorrow, so spend it now, and hopefully it works out, and maybe even gamble a little bit. And that's a very scarce perspective. And so spenders and even gamblers will end up being in that perspective, but so will savers and hoarders. And so you know that these things both repel money. They repel wealth. So savers and hoarders, their thing is that they're not willing to spend the money. They want to keep it. They want to hoard it. And it's funny because I get a lot of savers that will say, hey, I'm definitely a spender. And I'll say, well, how do you know that? And they'll respond, well, because, I had to pay for bills and I didn't want to. So I had to spend money on bills. So if you say you're spending money on bills, that is not being a spender. If you feel guilty about spending money, you probably are a saver at heart, most likely. There are some spenders that will feel guilty, but not long enough to change anything. Savers, if they had the choice, they would not spend money at all, right? There's a big difference. Hoarders want to just gather and accumulate money. It's always about accumulation. This is like a financial advisor's dream come true, is that they're going to say, man, like, you're going to accumulate and accumulate and grow and grow and grow, and you're never going to touch it. You're only going to live off the interest, if that. Usually they tell you to live off less than the interest, right? It's always about never having enough. You can never save enough. You can never accumulate enough. And even when you do, you think that there's some number that could make you financially free. You get to that number and don't feel any more free. You feel still in bondage. And so you keep going. Many people that actually are attracted most to messages of financial advisors typically taught out there are usually of the spender, or sorry, of the saver or hoarder mentality. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if we had a financial expert that was a spender or a gambler? I mean, what would that be like to listen to that person? You know what? Hey, there's a great sale going on right now. Go for it. Or, you know what? Hey, I think we're going to have some fun. You know what? Real estate market is awesome. Just go blow it. Even don't learn anything about it. Just go ahead and have fun, right? That's, I mean, it would be so much fun to see somebody who is a spender teaching about money. I wouldn't listen to a thing they said, just like I don't listen to most hoarder type of mentalities in financial advice. But still, it would be very entertaining, to say the least. And so, usually you see people that are financial experts, quote unquote, as being savers or hoarders, right? And they're always pointing the finger of condemnation at you, always telling you that, you know, you can't spend any money, you should be saving more, that it's your fault, your responsibility. And granted, taking responsibility can be an emotion or a viewpoint of abundance, but it's different the way they do it. And they're more placing blame on you, which is more of a scarce perspective. They're telling you it's your fault, but you've been just taking their advice for several decades and wondering why it still hasn't worked, and they're just going to blame you, say, well, you just haven't saved enough, or you're spending too much, even though inflation is requiring you to do it, and you might be living less of a lifestyle than before, but you're still spending more money, right? And so that saver-hoarder mentality, you can never save enough, and really it will rust and canker your soul, I'll tell you. I mean, if you keep hoarding like that, it just will not do you any good. So that's a scarce perspective. Now let's get into the abundance perspective in the middle here. The middle, that little bell curve I said, we had the spenders and savers on the one hand, or spenders and gamblers on the one hand, savers and hoarders on the other. In the middle, where the bulk of the wealth is what I refer to as a steward. These people could also be, you could also kind of coincide these being an investor. Not an investor as most people think, which are really gamblers, but a steward or an investor. You know, I like to say steward because it's another S word, spender, saver, steward. It's easier to remember. And also gives you a better mental picture too. Stewards actually take the spender and the best of the saver and put into one person or one perspective. See, the one thing that spenders do really well, as we know, is that they spend money. They're willing to use money. And money is meant to be used. Stewards understand that they have a responsibility to use money, that money is meant to be used, not to be accumulated, hoarded, just hoarded or saved, right? But at the same time, they're willing to be wise with it either. They're not just going to blow money like spenders do. They're willing to be wise with it like the savers are willing to do. And so these people who are wise stewards understand that money is meant to be used and it's meant to flow, not just stagnate and accumulate or just blow in the sense of blowing money, right? It's meant to flow and grow. Not to sit and accumulate and stagnate. And so stewards, they come more from an abundance mentality. So on this abundance side of things, as I mentioned before, scarcity people believe that things have value. In abundance, people have value. They understand that the real value doesn't come from things, that things have no intrinsic value. That's only value based on what people give it. So people are the true source of value. They create the real value. They are creators, not consumers. They're looking more for ways to create and add value because they know that dollars don't follow luck or exploitation, or even just through light cheating or stealing, but they actually follow from a very formulaic way of creating value for other people. They know that everybody has self-interest. See, self-interest is not selfishness. Selfishness is when you fail to realize the value that other people have to give you. When you start to look at things having value, you become selfish. When you start to realize that people have value and people aren't the tool to give you money, I like to say it this way, is that those that are consumers like to use people in order to get more money, while those that are creators like to use money as a tool to provide more value for more people. So it's always about how people have value and how to use that self-interest and understanding self-interest that we all want what's best for ourselves. And as you've heard people say for years, like Zig Ziglar and people like that, is if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. It's about that self-interest. It's about knowing that we all have self-interest. You might even call it enlightened self-interest because some people really have a hard time with that word, the word self. Self has to be there We all want what's best for ourselves. We all want to prosper and grow, not at the expense of others, but in the fact that we want to prosper and grow together. And in self-interest, you realize that to get what you want, you need to help others get what they want, that you have to add value to people's lives. And the real secret to creating more money, as I mentioned last week, is that to make more money, it's about how you can create more value for more people. How can you keep having a not just a strategy, but really the attitude of adding value into people's lives? How can you truly add more and more value so that they're able to grow and prosper? And as they grow and prosper, they want to reciprocate that value too. And that's why my business exists, is because I know that if I can help someone make at least an extra, $15,000 to $20,000 a year in what they're doing, in some cases even into tens or if not hundreds of thousands a year better, I know that that's a huge value add. I know that I can sleep at night knowing that I did a good job for somebody, and at the same time that their lives are prospering too. That's the beauty of it, is that people's lives are enriched. They're better because you're in the world versus not being in the world. They need to have you. You being in people's lives is a better thing. And so in abundance, you know that there's self-interest and that you're trying to help appease those people's self-interest. And it's about creating and adding value, not taking value from people. It's about having faith, not fear. It's about patience, not impatience. It's not about greed, like we talked about in scarcity, but it's more about that self-interest, understanding that it is about value, not greed, that it's about serving others. There's a life of no limits. You don't look at things from a standpoint of limits. You're looking at it from a standpoint of, what's possible, not what's impossible, right? People will be often referred to as being idealists. Maybe they have more of a Pollyanna-ish, Pollyanna-ish, if you can even say that word right, type of mentality. Some people even accuse people in abundance of being naive. But I'll tell you, it's the idealists and those that are accused of being naive that make the world go around. It's like many of you here listening to this right now that realize that, you might be a bit of an optimist. Now, I believe there's a difference between being an optimist and being being delusional, I guess is the best word to say it. Oftentimes there are people that are delusional that are living in a life of scarcity, and they try to be an optimist, but in reality, there's no power behind their words. There's no power behind those thoughts because they don't really believe it. They try to say those words in hopes that it'll change their mind, and it doesn't. You can't just change words. It's got to be something you believe through and through. It's about being the hero, not the victim, believing that you have full control of your own life and your own situation, that you have the ability to create prosperity, that it's not something that you're just consigned to. You're not consigned to a life of poverty or misery and scarcity, but that you actually have the control, the ability to be able to create value and prosper in your life by helping others prosper too. That is the beauty of abundance. The question is which one is real, scarcity or abundance? Which one is the true? Which one is the reality that we see? And the reality is that both of these exist. One, we both struggle with both of these. We'll go back and forth between scarcity and abundance. Not everybody's 100% in scarcity. Not everybody's 100% in abundance. We will all have scarce thoughts, and we'll all have abundant thoughts at different times. The real question is, where do we choose to put our focus and attention towards? Where do we really choose to put that? Because that will determine what reality you see and what you end up getting. The people that always tell me that they can't do it and that their life is just the way it is, those are the people that are going to end up broke. They're going to end up impoverished. Even if they have money, they will still feel broke the rest of their lives. This is where savers and hoarders, they might have lots of money but not really be prosperous. They won't be people that actually feel abundant or feel financially free. In fact, you can never, ever be financially free in scarcity. It's impossible. There's no way you can do it, which is why the financial advice that's given out there is impossible to create financial freedom. There's no way. Even when people say, well, I paid off all my debt, I'm debt-free, I'm financially free. No, they're not. In many cases, they are a little bit delusional, or in many cases, I hear some people say, I'll just wait in 15 years or 7 years and I pay off that mortgage. I feel so good that I'm financially free. But in reality, they don't feel financially free. They just think that they're on the track. And then when they get there, and trust me, I've had a lot of people say this, is that once they get there, they say, I don't feel much better. I don't have all those payments, so I feel good about that. But now I feel like there's something else wrong. Like I'm missing something. Like I'm not, you know, now I can't save enough, right? Again, from that scarcity mentality, not from abundance. People will oftentimes do things financially out of fear. Are you paying off your loans and your debt because out of fear or out of faith? Because I'll tell you, everybody that teaches you to pay off debt is teaching you how to do it out of fear. When I tell people to pay off debt, I tell them to do it out of respect. Respect it for what it is. They can be a tool for good or bad in your life. And so you do it more from faith, not fear. From respect, not fear, right? You know, are you looking when you're saving money? Are you doing it as like a scramble, mad dash? Are you just avoiding it and saying, well, I just hope that it'll all work out, right? And especially if you're a business owner, you probably feel like, well, what do I got to do? I got to put money in my business or do I have to save it? I know I'm supposed to do that, but, you know, I'm taking money out of the business. I can make money there, but what should I do? Hey, the reality is that why not do both? Because I believe I'm probably the only financial guy you'll hear say, no, put more money into your business. Put a lot of that money into your business to invest, not into other products. And then because you're making more money because of the cash flow that's coming from your business, then that can be stored into those financial products if done from the right perspective and not locked up into some product that keeps you in there for 20, 30, 40 years, right? And it's all about how to really have more abundance and create that kind of life. Now, I know we're wrapping up on this show here, so I know it's going to be pretty soon. We got a few more minutes. But I really want to emphasize here, especially as we get into next week, as we start to dig deeper into this about how do you truly start to talk more from abundance, actually how to start thinking that way. Because as you become more abundant, and I'm not just saying from having more money, but becoming more abundant to where it leads to more money, and I'll share some experiences next time where that actually was the case with me. Man, it's such a different world. Your world will never be the same. And you'll start to realize that no matter where you are financially, you have hope rather than doubt or worry. You have this hope knowing that things will get better. And I'll tell you, from that scarcity and abundance perspective, I mean, you've got it. The very first thing I want you to do this week is become aware of which emotion is which, especially when you're thinking about money, but even about everything in life. I mean, do you ever tell your family that you don't have enough time? Do you ever say, you know, do you ever overindulge yourself eating? You know, do you ever say, well, I wish I had more time to exercise, but I don't? When in reality, you need to have that. And we'll talk about that next week, about some real ways to foster that abundance mentality. And part of that is also helping your physical health, too, as well as your mental and spiritual well-being. Those have got to be there for the financial to follow. And so you got to look from that perspective, is that there really are no limits. I'm here to tell you that the possibilities are endless. Now, I'll tell you, I mean, there's times that I get, in fact, it's funny how the times when I have the greatest scarcity, the times where I feel the most defeated or like where I want to give up is usually right before the real blessing or the real benefit happens. You know, you hear there's the saying or the story about 3 feet from gold where the miner stopped digging just 3 feet of the richest gold vein in Colorado. And I'll tell you, that's very true, that can be the case. I mean, that many of the times we give up out of scarcity, many people will quit out of fear, quit out of scarcity. It's a different story of changing directions because you know that you've got a better path, and so you choose a better path. You see, in abundance, people are all about choice, where in scarcity, you feel like you're trapped, like you have no choices. Remember I mentioned about the either-or mentality? It's either this or that. I can't have both. No, you can have both. You can have a wonderful family and prosper financially. It's not about being unhappy and rich or having no family and divorcing and being rich. It's not about that. You can have both. And there's plenty of evidence and proof out there. So as you look out this week, you start looking from a standpoint of abundance, not scarcity. First, identify which feeling is which. And then from there, start to look for evidence of how abundance really has shown up. When you start to look for evidence, you'll notice that it's true, that it really is there. And I'm here to tell you that the world is abundant, that it is prosperous, and that you have every chance like anybody else to prosper. You have just as much time and just as much resources available to you to create that. Like I said, my name is Chris Miles. I'm here to teach you how to truly create abundance. Not only about cash flow, but truly how to be a prosperous, abundant person to truly love their life. Now go out and make it a prosperous and abundant day.